I'd like to call to order the meeting of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation, Board of School Trustees, Wednesday, March 3rd, 5:02 p.m. First item on the agenda, approval of this evening's agenda, and it is revised. I think there's that phallic thing has been added.
And the field trip.
And a revised personnel report.
Move approval of revised agenda.
Second. Moved by Mrs. Springer, second by Mrs. Anderson. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the February 17th meeting of the Board of Trustees. You received that, I believe, on your emails, and I didn't get back to Helen until not yesterday, but it was all... There were two grammatical things.
Looked good to me.
Move approval.
Moved by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mrs. Springer. Discussion.
I think I'd like to provide a clarification on one point. On page 2, under Rocky's summary of the reality of specific savings actions that are helping the school district short term.
Right, the bulleted, okay, that's the bulleted part on page 2.
Right, the fourth bullet point down. Three is continued staff collaboration.
Yeah.
You see that last year the staff took a 0% salary increase. I think that it would be more clear if beyond the first sentence or second sentence it read that the board's Hummel study states that over the 1998 to 2000 time period, West Lafayette average salaries for teachers have fallen 16.6% on an inflation-adjusted basis. Would be more accurate because the way it reads right now, I think, is...
Okay, let me reread it.
Yeah.
Continued staff collaboration. Last year, the staff took a 0% salary increase. The DeBoer Hummel study shows that over the years.
Yeah, the 1998
through 2009 time period.
Right.
West Lafayette salaries have been below the 16% adjusted inflation rates.
So West Lafayette average salaries for teachers.
Average salaries for teachers
have fallen rather than just or below, because by adjusting they're actually down.
They haven't fallen below a 16% inflation rate. I mean, a 16% inflation rate.
Right. That's very
Makes sense. They've fallen 16.6% on inflation adjusted.
How do we do that, Karen?
Basis over that period.
The discussion, and he is amending the minutes. And Helen, will you get the name in writing to Helen?
Sure.
Okay. Move approval of the amended minutes.
Did he have anything else?
No.
It's an important point.
Yeah, it is. A few more words, but much more clarification. Okay. I need some action here.
Move approval. Second.
Moved by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mr. Marley, that we accept the amended minutes from the February 17th meeting. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Communication from the audience, we have none. Unfinished business. New business, budget review timeline.
Just wanted to briefly go over, Mike and I are closely watching what's happening at the State House. I think Bill 309 looks like it's moving through. Bill 1367. I think there's some varying views of whether or not that's going to make it or not. So that's one of the reasons why we've been methodically trying to watch what's going on with the State House and with the budget. We do know that with the referendum coming up, those are that's going to be a decision that's going to help forecast what we're going to do for future years. As the DeBoer-Humbles study shows, that our class sizes will grow from over 20 to 40 per classroom. If we don't find new funding, we'll be driven down to 2% of schools statewide in spending per pupil, and we'll be forced to run schools at about $60,000 per classroom than Indianapolis schools. So some of the things we've been doing, just as a reminder, cancellation of summer school, reductions by attrition, which is reductions, outsourcing temporarily, no overtime unless there's an emergency, reduction of travel, professional activities, reduction of instructional supplies, material budgets, keeping the salaries, schedules for administrative staff at the same levels that they were last year, continue shopping for group insurance. Things we're going to continue to do is, if we get retirements, not replace those positions if we can avoid doing so. And we may have to look at reductions in force in April, depending upon what happens with legislation, depending upon what happens with other things that we're reviewing. And as a reminder, in a non-budget year, non-temporary folks notification timeline per Indiana code is June 1st. It's not May 1st in a non-budgetary year. June 1st. So we have a little time to look at all of these things. Furloughs outside the school year. You know, are there any things that we can do with staff during the summer that we might be able to do some furloughs? We're comparing our subpay rates.
Give me an example of that, would you?
Sure. If you have folks that are on a 12-month contract, maybe they take a week or two without pay during the summer.
Okay. Thank you.
Subpay, we're comparing with TSC, with LSD, and seeing what they're doing with subpay, and are they going to be making adjustments so that we can look at how we compare with those school districts. And I think we need to continue to look at energy retrofit projects for savings. And I just went through a spreadsheet for our energy saving policy. 2008, we spent $421,000 on just building utilities. 2009, our utilities went down, our payments went down $395,000. So just from our behavioral changes and our energy conservation, we've captured some savings. Now, you also have to look at consumption. You have to look at the use of rates. Have those increase, but overall cost, we've driven those down. And so I think once we get the construction bond projects done, and we put the chiller or the boilers, new boilers in, we'll start really seeing a major reduction in energy costs moving forward. And that might be something that we also want to consider moving forward. So I just wanted to tell you that this is what we're trying to work on, and we do have some we got some room here to wait to see how things play out with the legislation. And Mike and I are going through every budget line item to determine, are there savings that we can capture as we move forward. So this is point of information, and we're watching the bills very carefully, and Dottie may have some more information that I haven't received yet on the legislation, but it does look like one of the bills is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention that now?
Yes.
Or?
Unfortunately.
Sure, I can.
What'd you say?
It's been amended.
Yeah. As of 4:30.
A lot.
Ron was pretty positive.
Yes, he's been talking to Senator Kenley and Representative Porter, and I guess negotiations are going really well. What they're actually doing now is kind of stripping a lot of the language out of the bill, and they're going back to the original intent, which is just to be able to move money from one fund to the general fund, but not have any of the little caveats. So everything has to be ironed out by tomorrow. so I should know something more, but it actually looks pretty positive that we'll be able to move money without all the strings attached to it, so. So far, so good.
It's one step.
Well, that's why we haven't jumped too quickly into all of this, because once, you gotta get all the data before you make these.
Let me clarify that too, because I want to make sure you all understand that being able to move money from one fund to another is what I call robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's not new money. I want everybody, I want your public to understand it doesn't carry the bills.
Right, absolutely.
But it allows us, buys us some time going forward on program reductions and things like that, but it doesn't solve our long-term financial issues.
It is temporary.
I want you to keep that in mind, because I don't want everybody to think, well, now you don't need a referendum because you're able to transfer $200,000 from one fund to another.
Money we already have.
That's not gonna solve your problems.
And it would be effective immediately upon passage.
So you're buying groceries with your mortgage money.
Yeah. That's about it. Doesn't fix the funding. Doesn't fix the funding.
And that would probably, I think, the way it's stated is like a 1 or 2 year option only, and then that goes away.
Now, this just is dealing with the recent cut January. This has nothing to do with the funding formula that's driving down our cost per pupil. You know, we've got a variety of issues going on, and we've got to try to help everyone understand which issue we're dealing with. I'm dealing with the issue that just happened in January, and we may be dealing with that same issue again in June or July. If you saw today, 85.
$895 million shortfall in state tax collection.
Yeah. So I think that they'll be coming to us again saying.
And they're borrowing from the federal government to.
Well, there you go.
is it $1.5 billion that they're into the workers' comp? Yeah, unemployment. So, the big numbers, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So, not sure how this is all going to play out, but that makes the referendum question more important. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not just Indiana. Nope. It's not just West Lafayette. Nope. It's everywhere.
Yep. Certainly is.
I have one quick question.
Sure.
Just in rough numbers, how many employees would potentially be able to be furloughed? Do we have any 12-month employees?
Wouldn't be a lot. Administrative, custodial maintenance, but you know, that's outsourced, that's a CPF savings, not necessarily general fund savings.
Not a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very small group of people, and with everything that goes on in the summer, you know, how much we're going to be able to efficiently do that, I'm not sure. I'm just throwing out an idea that we should at least look at to see if there are any potential savings.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Questions from anyone? Let's move on to something extremely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Noteworthy.
Headline worthy.
18. National Merit Scholarship finalists.
We had 18 National Merit semifinalists who are now all finalists.
Wow.
Out of class 167. So if you go through the rankings of any school districts and look at how many semifinalists they had to national finalists, you will not see a better correlation.
100%?
Out of the percentage of 167 students,
12%.
It's a outstanding number.
When people have at across the country, places I've gone, and people are always, of course, want to know about our school district. And seriously, they do. And I try to explain it by the average high school in this country has one National Merit Scholar per year. We average 13. Average 13. Now, those were the exact numbers like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they've gone up by this time. And that is something noteworthy. I mean, it's just really says a lot for our clientele and our faculty and administration. So, I'll jump off my soapbox for a minute.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I brought that information forward in a public meeting. We've known about this for a while, but speaks volumes.
Do you have information now? The second tier below this are commended scholars. Do you have numbers on how many commended scholars?
I don't, but I can get those.
Okay.
Because that's outstanding as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are the valedictorians included in this?
Mm-hmm.
All of them?
Yep.
And what is often amazing as a teacher of 36 years, often the kids, many times, I won't say often, the kids who are National Merit Scholars are not the valedictorians. They're not the top 20. They're kids. And they take these tests and go, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that. It's rather amazing, actually, our quality of students that we have. Acceptance of donations.
I received a couple more donations, ones to get approval to receive. Ori Schaefer has painted two original paintings that he has donated to our school district. And also have received from Busan two ceramic bowls.
Oh, nice.
And so they brought those over to my office and wanted to ask permission to accept those as donations. And I do have them in my office if you want to see them. I should bring them out.
Okay. That's wonderful. And those are two former, well, one former and one present faculty member in Westlaw.
Motion.
Thank you. Mr. Karpik moves that we accept these donations.
Second.
Roush, second. Discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Well, those are all on isupportwlcs.com if you want to bid on.
That's on today, yeah.
Financial Advisory Committee, discussion only.
Wanted just to start the discussion about putting together a financial advisory committee should the community support the referendum question. And the thought is, and this will be an ongoing discussion for us, is to have a financial advisory committee, if our community does approve the referendum, that would be comprised of stakeholders in our school district. They'd have to go through some training, and they would look at cost projections, they would look at revenues, and they would look at what are the gaps and make some recommendations to superintendent and the interim business manager. And some of the things that I've just put down just as a point of reference is looking at representation from the city, from the county, from Purdue, from businesses, from residents, parents, retirees, landlords, teachers association, school board administration. And I think it's worthy that we start having a discussion about this, and not only now, but in future meetings, to just discuss what that composition might look like and what would be a selection process if we decide to move forward with that, so that that committee could start forming as we get closer to the summer, should, again, the community support the referendum.
I think one question I'd like everyone to ponder and not necessarily respond to this evening. I do believe this committee, it's a wonderful idea. I believe it also should be stakeholders. And stakeholders to me means people who reside in the school corporation district. And we have a couple down here who could be people who make money in the school corporation district, but who do not live here and do not pay, would not be a part of the referendum income. So I would like us to think about whether or not we want to keep it within the school district.
I would think that if you own a business in the school district, you know, there are taxes that you're paying because you own the business. And that's something that we have to discuss.
But. Okay, but do think about it.
My only other opinion is if you have a 17-person committee, I like the idea of where they're separated. I think it's a large committee. But yes. Again, I'm open to discussion.
Yeah, it is rather large. But
I like the breakdown in general.
I do too.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to just throw out there for consideration maybe a different point of view in putting this together, and not necessarily by stakeholder designation, but potentially look a little bit more at what are we hoping to gain from this committee. And I hope that it would be a certain level of expertise in financial matters. And I think it would behoove us to not necessarily just say, okay, we need somebody from this category so much as we need to look at what types of expertise, range of expertise in finances, you know, tax, banking, debt, budgeting, you know, those types of financial experience, I think there might be a different way to look at it, mm-hmm. and potentially make up the committee of a range of financial experts, whether they're a business owner or a landlord or whatever they are, mm-hmm. is kind of beside the point, because if, I mean, sure, I would fit into all of these categories, but I have no financial expertise. I could offer an opinion, and I'm sure a lot of these people would be happy to offer their opinions, but yeah, my opinion wouldn't be worth a whole lot if you really needed sage advice, I have to tell you. So anyway, just to kind of throw that out there.
Yeah. I think that's very
not
wise.
Not that you can't have someone in these categories that sure would also be able to give advice, like, you know, Dr. Hummels and DeBoer, right. and a lot of our patrons and our business owners have, you know,
and I think
Steve
that's
Shook
what
and Brad Marley, right. and a lot of the people that we that have an interest in helping our school corporation fall under these categories.
Sure.
But maybe we should look at that as their first criteria. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we looked for when we originally formed the Blue Ribbon Committee, someone who understood finances. So excellent.
Good point.
Maybe we'll discuss this more in work session or something.
Absolutely.
This is the start.
Yeah, I just want to start getting some input, because I do think that we need to, you know, we're in March, and if this is something that we're going to move forward with in the summer, we should start having a discussion on what that composition will look like. We need to talk about selection procedures and make sure it's very objective and transparent, mm-hmm. and have all of those things in place rather than try to do this this summer and go through this exercise.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yep. Great, good ideas.
Yeah.
But if you have any ideas, throw them to me. If you have suggestions, I want to make sure that we capture all the ideas and then really build on this.
Great idea, Alfie. Item A, revised PERF resolution. Mike?
I love that housekeeping.
Item A here. Exhibit C.
Okay, one of the housekeeping items we need to do tonight is with Connie leaving and Mike coming on board, even though it is interim, this PERF does require you to designate people to serve as agents on your behalf in dealing with all the documents related to PERF, related public employees, retirement funds. So what we've done is present you a resolution that would name both Rocky and I as those agents on your behalf to work with all the documents and have authority to sign off on the documents and deliver PERF payments and all that to the PERF Association.
Does that mean you would both be required?
One or the other.
So it's one or the other. So so it's
you'd
really
be
and or?
Mm-hmm.
Should it say that?
It just says
and.
The way it's and, it's fine.
Well, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments about that? We need a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Marley. I was going to say Mr. David in that.
That didn't work.
Discussion. Yeah, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
Just don't call me Shirley.
Exhibit D in your packet, agreement with Umbaugh and Associates to provide continuing disclosure reporting. Okay.
Did we skip something?
I don't know. I'm not looking at my revised one. I'm sorry. Just a second here.
That's next.
Is it next?
No. Yeah,
yeah, it's
yep,
it's next.
Well, you said D, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's exhibit D.
Says exhibit A. That throws me every time.
Yeah, these are just the letters out here.
Exhibit D.
These letters out here.
I'm trying to do this with my glasses. It's not working.
What you have here is a recommendation for us to approve Umbaugh Associates to provide these reports. A few years ago, the SEC passed a ruling that with all bond issues, there would be refunding or new bond issues. You have to provide there's a continuing disclosure undertaking agreement, which you did sign that in all those bond packets of the bond you issued, that you agree to do that. Umbaugh Associates is a firm that will compile that data. We provide some of that data to them, but they'll compile that and then file that with the various boards that has to be filed semi-annually, and they will do that. We currently have three bond issues that come under that. Our QSAP does not come under that and does not need that, but our refunding bonds for the high school, the GOB bonds for Cumberland, and the GOB bonds for Happy Hollow do require that. So they would agree to do that for us for $1,750 for all three. If we would add bond issues in the future, that would be at $250 per issue that they would charge in addition to that. So we'd like to recommend you approve that at this time.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Anderson, seconded by Mrs. Roush, that we continue our agreement with Umbaugh Associates. Discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Dispose of depleted assets, Exhibit E.
Okay.
Item C.
I know last month you agreed to declare some equipment of non-value. I guess when we start looking at all kinds of cuts, there's a lot of stuff to get rid of. So we, again, have four pieces of equipment that I'm told have absolutely no value to the schools. They're beyond repair. There's nothing of value they can get out of it. One, a Resograph at Cumberland, a Resograph at Happy Hollow, a Resograph at the high school, and a Konica copier at the high school. We would not be replacing any of these at this time. They've been not used for the last, I would say, at least a year. So they're of no value. So we'd like to recommend you declare those of no value and give us authority to dispose of those.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Marley, seconded by Ms. Trinette, that we get rid of the depleted assets, which is really, their services have already been replaced by other machinery. We just need to get rid of them. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Information to the board. I have
two more.
Well, now, what am I on?
What I get for not wearing my glasses.
Valid benefit plan updates.
Okay,
Mr. Turner.
This is another item that periodic, this is kind of a housekeeping item also. Valic does provide the administration of your 401A and 403B plans. You've approved them to be the administrator for those plans. They do not charge any fees for those plans, but as part of that service, they do provide periodically legal updates to your plan and the amendments to the plan to come into compliance with changes in IRS regulations and that. As part of that, a plan administrator's name is required on each of those revised documents, and we'd be recommending that Dr. Killian be the plan administrator and have authorization from you to sign those. We have certain ones of those that are on hand now, and there'll be some in the future. They come periodically, and what we would like to revise, instead of us having to recopy oodles and oodles of papers of plan documents, that a lot of it's restating what you already have, give him authority to sign off on those. If there's something unusual, we always let Mr. Riling look at those and give his legal opinion before we sign off on those. So, again, kind of a housekeeping item so that we don't have to reproduce 1,000-page document every time for you. So I'd like to recommend that you approve him to be the one that signs off on those and make sure we stay in compliance with all those plans.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mr. Kartik, second by Mrs. Springer. Discussion.
Is this a change at all? Whose name was on these before?
We had the Connie, she would help implement this.
Okay, but other than that, it's...
That's really...
Having you do it.
Right, because I'm interim, you'd have to keep coming back and changing over and over.
Gotcha.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Out-of-state field trip.
Which hasn't happened yet.
Well,
not even close.
That's the plan.
April 12th.
That's right, and we'd like to recommend that the fifth grade class be allowed to go visit the Shedd Aquarium and Peely Museum April 12th in Chicago.
There will be no killer whales involved in this trip.
That's cool.
No, that's cool. That's bad.
Approval.
By Mrs. Anderson, seconded by Mr. Karpik. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Information to the board.
And I'm three times.
Oh, I get close. Yes. Information to the board. I have none other than if you want to mark on your calendars March 20. Ann Coyville is hosting a get-together for retired faculty and retired school board members to talk about the referendum.
Okay. What time would that be?
I think it's 2
4 to
4.
I thought it was 4.
Tell me
2
to
4. I think it's
2
to
4.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Yeah.
What day is it?
It's a Saturday.
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 Oh, it's a Saturday because hopefully there will be no Purdue game that night, but it might start later.
2 to 4.
She'll have a TV on. I know now since
2 to 4.
Robbie's down. We're
2 to 4 Saturday.
2 to 4.
Okay. Yes.
Saturday at Ann's house.
Yeah, it's the last weekend.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep on.
Other information to the board? I have none. Personnel report revised.
I'd like to recommend all the names listed on the personnel report be approved.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mrs. Rouse, seconded by Mrs. Springer, that we accept the revised personnel report. All in favor, discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Accounts payable vouchers.
You have a complete claims docket in your packet. We have no additions or corrections at this time. Complete is presented. Thanks for your approval.
Mr. Turner did a great job his first week getting payroll out.
I think it's only fair that we have several questions to ask him tonight.
I have no idea. I didn't sign off on any of these.
Mike and his staff are doing a great job reorganizing and getting things.
What's a smooth turnover?
What's a smooth?
It's smooth.
We're having
no
one.
Transition.
We're transition, yeah. Not even, yeah. It's just very smooth. So.
Checks are printed. How's that? We're paying our bills.
Okay.
So far.
We don't need a motion to pay these things?
Yes.
Oh, well,
so moved.
Okay. Thank you. Did say motion here, that's fine.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mrs. Anderson, that we pay our bills. Discussion?
I do have a question.
Tell me what page.
Kaufman software.
What that is we've delayed paying that until we double check the conversion and make sure it worked and everything has gone well before we wanted to pay that. That's an older bill, but we're just now presenting it to be paid to the county. Has double checked all that conversion before she left and everything's fine, so she said it's ready to be paid.
Excellent.
I was just concerned that it's under
check. No. No.
We weren't going to finish it off until we knew that we had all the data and
ever checked out.
What's the Cameron and Associates light speed renewal?
Which page? And I'll
look at it real quick. Page 20. Okay. At the bottom, and then it's at the top of page 21.
Okay, that's a software maintenance.
Did you say
light speed
renewal? Cameron and Associates still bringing software.
Right.
It's a yearly renewal.
have certain things with our software, with our, not only our internet, but all types of maintenance agreements related to different programs and that.
Are these areas that are also on the list for considering cost cutting? We haven't actually had that come up per se on your list.
Well, part of it, most of that's out of CPF, so it doesn't impact your general fund, but we're also looking at CPF because our circuit breakers are going to kick in 2011, 2012. And when those circuit breakers kick in, you're looking at $120,000, $130,000, 2011, all the way up to possibly $240,000, 2012. So those are your other funds, your debt service, your capital projects, your transportation. So we've got a little time to delve into those, but we're going to have to go through those every line item to ensure that we can manage the circuit breaker that would not happen to us.
We spend an amazing amount of money on software upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much comes through here under that category.
Yep.
Page 24, right way, $4,410 seal concrete, sports facility on Salisbury.
That was the tennis courts.
That's tennis courts.
We were in need of some repair.
Thank you.
And that's again the CPF.
Yeah,
that's
right.
If it was coming out of the general fund, we wouldn't touch.
That's all I've got for you.
Unless we paid $240,000 to Gillette on the Happy Hall project, I was just wondering where we stood on that.
Bob, we have actually a meeting this morning that came out of the general obligation, Bob. They, with the weather and some other electrical delays, we're probably maybe about 6 weeks behind. But we think that that facility and all of the punch list should be done right around June 1st.
June 1.
Yep. We've had a couple of unforeseen issues,
right.
Some utility issues, some when you put an old building with a new building and you're trying to connect the two, there's been some load issues, so we've had to look at the possibility of adding some new beam structures to support the loads between the old and new, and that'll be coming forward in the next couple of weeks for your consideration as soon as Gerard signs off on what exactly is needed there. I mean, it's not anything major, it's just some things that weren't part of the specs that we'll have to consider. Happy Hollow is very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the kids having a place to go do their plays as opposed to the orchestra room or the kids' cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And having multi grade level of instruction and team teaching going on. I think that's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion, comments? Motion on the table? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Yes, I would love to. In your packet are designations for Four Star School at Happy Hollow and at the junior senior high school. Cumberland actually met all criteria except for attendance.
Always
know. I know.
And here's how close this was for attendance for Cumberland. 0.001%. 0.001. That's how far off they were for
1/10 of 1%.
Yeah, 1/10 of 1%.
Wow.
One sniffle.
You know, so and I feel bad for Cumberland because they have everything else in place. It's just the attendance. Every year, you have to be in the top 25% of attendance in the state, and that attendance mark changes every year, and that's how far off we were from making the top 25% in Cumberland this year.
I bet attendances across the state were probably off a little low this year.
Yeah. And we did get our graduation rates for the high school, 98.1, 98.2%, which is the third highest in the state.
Mm.
What are the other two? Are they public schools?
Yes. One's a public school, one's a private school. But the publics, both of them are very small schools.
Thank you for that information. Board and Superintendent reports, Community Council.
Meet this Monday. Nothing really all that new.
Okay. Teacher discussion.
We met on the 18th, and they have to help me out. Dr. Kalinka said my report sat on my desk at home. We went over the referendum, and of course, thanked the teachers for their cooperation and just being on board that we're all doing this together. So it was very, very, very much appreciated. Going over cost savings to date, and I believe it was, what, close to $100,000 that we have saved so far. Cost-saving measures that we're still looking at taking. Went over the finance committee.
Financial Advisory Committee.
Got some input from them, yep. And the emphasis that if this is still an ongoing discussion, that no decisions have been made at this point. What else did we cover?
We went over the legislation, right. The budget timeline that we talked about today. Also talked about not replacing teachers through attrition at this point, so we can get through the legislation and see how that goes, and looking for other ways to capture savings, and ask the WLEA also for ideas, mm-hmm. for us to save in revenue, and they'll be bringing back some ideas as they talk with their staff and their colleagues. I am very impressed with the turnout that the teachers have with the fundraisers, mm. and the things,
yes.
that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been amazing. It's been a sea of red with the t-shirts and being out there working with the fundraisers, and Mary Beth, everywhere I turn, she's there too. So I really thank Mary Beth and the staff for what they're doing and all the work that they're putting in.
Finance strategic planning, I think we've alluded to that with the foundation, and I missed the last meeting and maybe the last two. So
yeah, the next one next week. I think as much as focuses as much on the sort of the referendum, which is kind of outside the foundation, but what's next, how best to look at the funding, potentially the strategic plan, and also that's probably the main emphasis right now. There's been a lot of discussion about the referendum as well.
Glass, I don't think we have a report. Health and wellness, no high ability.
We had our meeting yesterday and talked about the hiring of Mary Dixon Gibbs Westbrook, which we did tonight to help. Money from the high ability grant will be funding her salary for the additional hours. Mrs. Bowers was going to send out an email. We do have some money that can be applied to professional development for teachers K through 12. They're interested in getting some additional classes or development for high ability. And then I guess
the money's available for classes or what?
Professional development.
Oh, okay.
Teachers can apply.
Okay.
For updating of their license,
okay.
and so forth. And then a number of years ago, there had been high ability internal grants process, and an email has gone out asking again for K through 12 internal grants for high ability projects.
Okay, and this is all grant money?
This is all grant money.
How much money does the high ability grant still have available?
About $16,000.
Yeah. Legislative, I think you've told us, mm-hmm. everything. Negotiations will happen when they happen.
We just spoke with Don and Mary Beth and Dave, and I think we're planning on doing something this summer. Depending upon how everything plays out.
Yeah, everything depends on that.
Yep.
Part four.
Okay. Get down to the ice skating rink. Last day will be Sunday.
Okay, you don't want me down there. Break a bone. Community partnership, we haven't met. City council redevelopment?
No report.
Okay. Public schools foundation, no meetings recently. Safe routes to school. Okay. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items. Now's your chance. Future meetings, ISBA spring regional meetings, March 18th at the Trails. We have two people attending that, Grinnett and Springer, and on the 21st in Sherrillville, Anderson and Killian. I may be able to go to that, but I don't know yet.
Don't you have to speak at these?
No. This is just you go.
I may be too as well. I just don't know. That's an hour later now because of time difference, so.
Okay, and that's on Monday.
We're going to do the strat team meeting, and then we'll still have time to get up there.
Sounds good.
And you're going to love the perch.
Perch.
Right. Yeah. The perch has a place our food.
Oh man, all you can eat perch.
That's how I see. So that meeting would be at 7:30.
It's worth the drive.
Yes. Maybe at 6. I might be able to make that, so. But I'll.
I might also.
I need to be a definite maybe, but I just.
You won't.
I'm a probably maybe.
So the strat team meeting is at 4.
Right.
That might be the time getting down to the last.
I think we may be done by then.
Karen, can you step in for me and welcome everybody there? Because I will not be in town.
Which one is this?
At 18:04 on the 18th.
Sure.
Okay, and I will tell Frank Bush that you're going to do that. One of the things, well, I'll tell you later. Okay. Wednesday the 24th, work session here, and April 7th. Regular school board meeting here.
And Mike and I may not have anything for you by March 24th, so there may be a good, we could cancel the March 24th.
Get out.
No. And remember, that's the one I can't right. make.
So there's another reason.
I recommend that.
It's all about me.
It's tentative.
Yeah, I recommend we make it tentative.
Okay.
Unless something pressing comes up. With everything going on.
And I'm actually going to be at the airport picking up my mom.
Yeah.
She's flying in for his birthday.
I have a question scheduled.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. This is by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mr. Rao.
24th.
Discussion. Brad, you want to stay longer?
I'm at peace. Thank you very much.
Oh, we have things to sign. We have great pictures. If the Journal Courier or Channel 18 wants to put these pictures on the news, we'd be happy to autograph them.
Thank you all.